Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 21st of July, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you're here. We're here to talk about mesh Wi-Fi. And for longtime listeners, you know this is a thing we do occasionally is we sort of take the state of the union, the state of the wireless union, I guess it would be, to talk about what's out there now and what offerings there are. And if there's if you have it and maybe want to upgrade, or if you don't have it and you're looking to maybe fix that dead spot, here's some ways you can. So, Dave, give us like the tweet length definition of mesh Wi-Fi.
I guess the right way to say it is what you said, the wireless union, which I think there's like a joke about mesh Wi-Fi being socially distanced before that was a cool thing to do.
That's entirely true. Yeah.
Mesh Wi-Fi is that, though, where you have multiple access points providing Wi-Fi to your home or office, and they are not wired together necessarily, and allowing you to have greater coverage, better signal strength throughout your home or office.
Yeah, you get little outposts that sort of extend the Wi-Fi a little further than just having the one place where all the Wi-Fi comes from in your house. That's basically...
That's right. Yeah, and extenders are the right and wrong analogy to make. I mean, mesh Wi-Fi is essentially a series of extenders that all know about each other and talk to each other and all broadcast the same SSID, or like we like to call it, wireless network name. So you're not having to choose whether you're on the extender or the main one. Right. You just choose your wireless network and it figures it out because it knows. Most extenders know about the base, but the base doesn't know about the extender.
Right.
With mesh, in theory, everything has the opportunity to be smarter. And I say it that way because what I like to say about mesh, and we'll talk about both hardware and software, is that hardware is the most important thing, because once you have the hardware, you can't change the hardware.
Right.
Except that software is the most important thing, because without well-written software, it doesn't matter how great your hardware is.
That's true. I would say somewhere, Brian Chaffin is smiling right now because we're going to get a little bit pedantic. Wi-Fi, like if you're using mesh Wi-Fi, the little mesh units that I was calling outposts, like they do extend the Wi-Fi, but don't think of them like you think of a Wi-Fi extender, because I know a lot of people have a lot of trouble with Wi-Fi extenders for that reason. Like it's a kind of different network, or it works at 2.4, or like it will, your device will only connect to one of them, and then, you know, that signal gets really crappy because it won't figure out how to switch to the other and that kind of stuff. So this eliminates all of that. You just have one network that goes everywhere, because you get these little outposts that all talk to each other, as opposed to, like you said, you know, the extender is like, my whole job is just to go back to this one home base, sort of. And with the mesh units, they're a little more independent than that. So,
well, they're a little more interconnected than that. In theory, they can be. And again, I caution people, not all mesh is created equal.
True.
You know, and I mean, that's true of any technology, right? But you got to buy stuff, and we'll give some recommendations here of things to buy.
We'll have hard info for you, I promise.
The thing that really brought mesh into the mainstream was what we now call Wi-Fi 5, but at the time was called 802.11ac. And that is the high speed 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi that really allowed for these mesh points, the outposts as you call them, to communicate with each other at speeds fast enough that they could then have enough speed to relay to their, you know, outpost location. Prior to that, mesh, like the mesh technologies, especially at the core of it all, they've been around for quite a while. We just didn't have the wireless technology to make it worthwhile. There were a lot of mesh networks deployed in corporate settings, but they were all wired mesh, where all of these outposts had Ethernet cables connecting to each other. And certainly you can do that in your house. And if your house is capable of that, that's a way better path to go down, because you're not relying on Wi-Fi, which we all know can be, you know, spotty depending yeah. on what you have in between. And it takes a lot of, with Ethernet, you take a lot of the guesswork out. So,
right.
But Wi-Fi 5 opened that door, and now we have Wi-Fi 6, which is what we would have previously called 802.11ax. Mm-hmm. Wi-Fi 6 is just like Wi-Fi 5, and a little more. It runs on both 5 gigahertz and 2.4 gigahertz, and it increases the speeds and decreases the latency over Wi-Fi 5. So you've got a potentially faster bandwidth, truly capable of doing gigabit speeds. I've tested it with, you know, our iPhones support Wi-Fi 6, the iPhone's 12, and I believe the iPhone's 11 did as well.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And I've tested it and gotten, you know, if I'm right within range of the router and all of the things are, you know, relatively perfect, I've gotten gigabit speeds over Wi-Fi, you know, 900 plus megabits per second, which is pretty darn good. I mean, that's what I get over gigabit Ethernet. So, mm-hmm. and potentially Wi-Fi 6 can go even faster than that. I haven't seen it, but I'm also not sure I have an environment where I could test that. Mm-hmm. So,
So I think, if I'm remembering correctly, when we've talked about this before, part of what made Wi-Fi 6 interesting was that the backhaul could be handled on a separate channel. So if that's correct, let's take a second and talk about backhaul and why it matters that you can do that sort of behind the scenes, I guess.
Yeah, Wi-Fi 6, having a separate channel for backhaul is not unique to Wi-Fi 6. And when we talk about backhaul, we are talking about the communication between the outposts, between the access points. So, you know, you have your client devices. When your iPhone connects to, or your Mac connects to one of these outposts, we'll call that front haul. And then when the outposts talk to each other, that's backhaul. And so the idea is you want to have as much speed on the backhaul as you can, so that, as I said before, with Wi-Fi 5, you know, we finally got that. And then you have enough speed left over for the front haul so that you can actually, you know, give these client devices enough bandwidth so that you don't really care. Mm-hmm. And it all just works. And right. that was totally possible with Wi-Fi 5. They have what are called dual band and tri-band mesh points. Uh-huh. The dual band mesh points would have a 2.4 gigahertz and a 5 gigahertz radio. The tri-band ones add another 5 gigahertz radio, which gives them yet that extra radio to usually be used for that backhaul. Again, it's up to the mesh to decide how it wants to leverage all of the radios at any given point in time. It might even be using a combination of two radios for backhaul, depending on how the mesh is configured and laid out physically and what's possible and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. So,
and how much Wi-Fi backhaul we're talking about and all that kind of stuff.
And that's where Wi-Fi 6 comes in, because even if you didn't have any Wi-Fi 6 client devices, if your mesh can talk Wi-Fi 6, well, now it has these enhanced speeds that it can use for that backhaul, beginning to sort of obviate the need for the wired Ethernet in order to get the most efficient network. So yes, you're right that Wi-Fi 6 opens that door. And all of that, the nice part is we are at a point now where all of the major vendors have what I will call reliable, robust Wi-Fi 6 solutions in the, you know, in the market that we can buy.
Okay.
There's TP-Link with the Deco units. The X60s are the ones, and we'll put links to all these in the show notes for you, so you don't need to take notes if you don't want to, folks.
Yeah.
But
they will TP-Link all be up at MacObserver.com, where you can see the show post. We'll have links to everything there.
Sweet. TP-Link Deco X60, I've tested and works quite well. They have been sort of, to call them the budget mesh, it might be misleading. I'll call it the affordable mesh. They mm-hmm. really have done a nice job, and in many ways have bested even some of the more expensive units. So they really are a good option to look at. Yep. And then
TP-Link has made good solid networking stuff for a long time. I've had TP-Link, various bits of TP-Link networking gear in my house in various capacities for quite a while, and it's all been pretty solid. It's a very boring review. Yeah. Like, I buy it and I set it all up and I don't think about it until something happens to the network. So,
but that's how our networking gear should be, right?
That's exactly what's supposed to happen. It should be a very boring review. I set it all up and now everything's fine. Yeah.
That's it. Yep. Exactly. Kind of like airplane rides, right? Boring and forgettable. That's what you want.
Ideal.
Right?
Like, yes.
Ideal. Right. Yes. So yeah, no, TP-Link stuff is great. The Netgear Wi-Fi 6 version of the Orbi mesh has really proven itself. I was not a fan of the original Orbi. No, yeah. I did not. Because it wasn't really mesh. It was forced to be in a what we'll call a star configuration, where all of the outposts had to only talk back to the router that was wired into, say, your cable modem or whatever your internet came from. There was no opportunity for multi-hop, which for people with a long house and your internet comes in on one side, having multiple mesh points throughout the house, like that's necessary. Netgear just didn't do that. It also didn't support Ethernet backhaul. And when they added multi-hop and Ethernet backhaul, this is with the Wi-Fi 5 units, it got really flaky really fast. Mm-hmm. That is not an issue with the Wi-Fi 6 version of the Orbi. They built it the right way out of the gate.
Excellent.
And that's what we like to hear.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Because I know it was sort of a frustrating thing all around with the Netgear stuff, kind of initially. Yeah. Like, even when it was supposed to get better, it didn't get any better.
It got worse. Yeah, got worse for a while. They started with one type of sort of foundation to their code base, and then they tried to add features that were foundational features on top of not the right foundation is essentially what happened there. And I believe with the Orbi 6, they started with a different foundation right out of the gate. So,
all right. That's better.
It works way better. And then there are what I consider, the two top tier consumer grade mesh products that are both Wi-Fi 6 now. That's Eero and Plume. Mm-hmm. On any given day, one of the two of them is my favorite. Eero is a very robust solution. They often will have features before anyone else. They certainly were the first to market consumer grade mesh, back in the early days of all of this, and it paid off, right? Because they've been able to iterate. Like I said, everybody's using the same hardware chipset, right? Like it's Qualcomm and maybe Broadcom, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, everybody buying the same chips. It depends on what features of those chips you enable and how you build your software. And so Eero has built great software over the years. Where Plume shines is in their device profiling, we'll call it. They know how every specific device reacts to their mesh because they've tested it, and also they get anonymized data from the homes of people that have Plume. And they know, this Samsung phone needs to be sort of the roaming between mesh points is where really the things come together. Like you were saying before, with some of those extenders, your device would hang on to the extender too long and you get a crummy signal, even though you were right next to a better point.
Yeah.
Roaming from the current one to a better one is key, right? But the trick is that is 100%. The final decision about that is up to the client device.
Yes.
So the mesh needs to be really sort of tricky about how it encourages the client device to decide to roam. And there are some protocols, official protocols, to do that with. And then there are some unofficial ways, like saying, okay, we know darn well that device should be on this thing, but it won't let go. So we're going to block it temporarily from the one that it's on to force it to jump to a different one, right?
Like, okay.
These things can happen, right?
Yeah. And so it's gotten smarter about making those transitions happen. Convincing the device when the device can't decide for itself. Okay.
Plume leads the pack there because they have all these different profiles. They know exactly what to do for any given device. And it's weird being able to walk around my house and seeing my devices jump, like, you know, literally within a second of walking into a room, it just grabs it and moves on. So wow. It's pretty okay. cool. Yeah. Yeah. So, now, Plume definitely wins there. But again, you know, the differences between Eero and Plume are like I said, either one of them is my favorite on any given day.
Okay. So Eero, I want to make sure I get the math right on this. Eero was its own company that did its own stuff, built this cool mesh system, and then Amazon owns it now. Right?
Correct. It is an Amazon brand. That's correct.
Eero. Yep. And
thank goodness too, because that company was going to go out of business, as I understand from, you know, the Silicon Valley whispers.
Yeah.
Like, Amazon saved it from going away, okay. which is good.
And yeah. Plume is its own thing, or does somebody make that we already know?
Nope.
Okay.
Let me look here and make sure that I haven't missed anything about Plume. But yeah, no, I think it is Plume Design Inc. still. Yeah.
Okay.
Very much so.
So yep. Plume is its own thing. You know, we're doing this on Wednesday. Security Friday is a thing I'm kind of always thinking about. So FYI, Amazon owns Eero. That bit alone, like, that seems to be as far as it's gone right now, just for the record. Whether that changes, I don't know. You know, we've seen the evolution with the Ring doorbells after Amazon bought those. So, you know, this may or may not be a thing that helps tip you one way or the other. But I'm glad that at least now everything seems to be more solid. Like, it seems like overall we've got a much better experience. If you've been looking at doing something mesh Wi-Fi, now I know, Dave, you're always looking at the next thing, but if you don't have mesh Wi-Fi now, and it seems like a thing that would solve the bad Wi-Fi in that room in your house or whatever it is, it seems like now is a decent time to get into that if you're sort of in the market, right? Because we've got the Wi-Fi 6 stuff happening and all of that, like, kind of standard across the board. So Wi-Fi 6 has made a lot of things better. If you were going to do a network like this, or if you have a really old one and want to upgrade it, now might be a good time to do that. I mean,
maybe
because
we saw last week that the iPhones 13 will likely have a Wi-Fi chipset that supports not just Wi-Fi 6, but Wi-Fi 6E.
Okay.
And what Wi-Fi 6E adds is the 6 gigahertz spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I know it's called Wi-Fi 6, but Wi-Fi 6 by itself, as I said before, 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz, mm-hmm. like everything before it.
Right.
Wi-Fi 6E adds a 6 gigahertz brand new radio spectrum, less congestion, more bandwidth. Mm-hmm. And there are two mesh routers out on the market that support 6E. There is the TP-Link Deco X96. And then there is the Linksys Velop that they're calling like the Atlas Max 6E or something. I have not tested either one of these because I just haven't yet. But okay. Again, even if you don't have 6E client devices, having 6E available for your mesh backhaul, especially that 6 gigahertz part of 6E, yeah. where there is less congestion, that if I were, as a nerd, if I were buying new mesh today and I knew that I needed to use it wirelessly, not over Ethernet, mm-hmm. I would go with one of these 6E units. I'd probably go with the Deco X96
okay.
if I was doing it today.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And part of the reason to consider that is because much like when we talk about like TVs and stuff, like, you don't go out and get a new Wi-Fi network every couple of years. Like, generally,
right.
like
right.
this is something that's right. a little bit longer term. So if it's something you're looking at now, you may want to look ahead to the 6E stuff like Dave's talking about and start with using one of those, you know, get one of those instead, because eventually, like, the stuff in your house, most of that stuff's going to use 6 or 6E, and then you'll already be sort of at, you know, maximum speed for that, and you don't have to worry about everything stuck on mere mortal 5 gigahertz channels.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So definitely a thing to look at. I'm glad we had a minute to look ahead at that. Yep. You know, if really what you're worried about is
getting You're not going to go wrong getting the Eero or the Plume today. The Wi-Fi 6, not the 6E stuff. You're going to be in fine shape for a while.
It's going to take quite a long time. I think it'll take quite a long time before you start really feeling the pinch on those, just in general. An Eero or a Plume. If you have more questions about this, definitely let us know. I am looking right now for, I'm looking for the name of the person who asked us about this earlier. It was Chuck, asked us about Wi-Fi. And so that was why we wanted to make sure we talked about it a little bit. So thanks, Chuck. I appreciate that you sent us in a question. If you have stuff you want us to talk about or questions about things we talked about on the show, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, at TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So Dave, thanks so much for coming by to give us the state of the wireless union.
My pleasure. Happy to do it.
Thanks so much. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.